Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're live on Blog Talk. I see you all waiting in queue. 614 area code, and then after that, 440-973. What's going on in these churches? And who knows, maybe there's a church out there, because every time we mention something, we hear this, and I understand, not all. Okay? I know lawyers look at, like, oh, look at the devil. You know? I know lawyer, every time we mention certain things, instead of us getting to the bottom of what's harming and eroding our communities, the response we get is not all.
Right.
But 90% of the churches are the problem.
Exactly. It's not enough of the positive churches that we are saying that exists, which they do, but it's not enough those churches to outweigh or undo what has been done and what continues to be done by the negative churches that we're speaking of tonight.
Yeah. I mean, these churches have gotten loose with, I mean, they have made their own doctrine. They might as well teach from their own Bible. You got women pastors in position of a pulpit, of a man's position in a pulpit acting a fool. And other people sitting there cheering them on and all that. Listen, woman, what, go sit down somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've gotten too loose up in these churches. 614, what's going on in the church? Let's go.
Shalom.
Shalom, you're live with the Gathering of Christ Church. Talk to us.
Shalom, Elder. Well, I have to ask the same question because my brother is a pastor, and I was talking to him, and what's going on in churches is they're indoctrinated. I mean, he's following people like Sid Roth, and he believes that Trump is not going to make it to where the people are going to be vaccinated. And he believes that, like you said, we're under grace and there's spiritual commandments. And he doesn't believe, he believes he's a Gentile. And he doesn't believe that he's an Israelite.
So in a nutshell, what you're saying is your brother is lost in a position, he's a lost soul in a position of a pastor.
Yes.
What's wrong with that thing?
Well, it tears me up because I'm afraid for him. And he's been a pastor for over 30 years. And so when I try to talk to him, his whole thing, I'm sorry, he's not a pastor. He's a bishop. Forgive me. So when I try to talk to him,
I'm listening, just to go on, because the next call.
Make
your point.
When I try to talk to him, he feels like he's been doing this for over 30 years, and he's rooted and grounded in what he believes.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, he got 10 toes down. It's all good. And you know what? Hell is hot, because it's like this. Even Christ says, if your light be darkness, how great is that darkness?
Come.
So, hey, does it sound like anything different than what we've seen with our pastors, who are stubborn when it comes to their positions or being accountable to their positions according to the gospel? I don't even think your brother know what that is. And like I said, that's why, and I'm going to put you on hold and thank you for your testimony, sister, because I hear this reoccurring story over and over again. But the problem is, I don't think they know what the truth is. I don't think they know the position that they're holding or the consequences for not operating right in that position. Keep in mind, they think that philanthropy is the gospel because that's what they're taught. You downstairs, you got some canned goods. Every Saturday, you have a food drive and a clothing drive, and you're feeding some people downstairs. And guess what? That's all good. But the pagan Rome had that. Pagan Rome, the whole philanthropy thing where you serve food on Saturday and go to the temple on Sundays came from Rome. Babylon before that. So they think that's what it means to be a pastor or a bishop. No. That's what it is. That's your position as a pagan priest. See, they don't know history. The roles they're taking on in our communities were the same roles of the pagan priest. And they're getting that conflicted. It's not confused in the Bible. Okay, let's go to the next one. Thank you, sister. I hate to be short, but, you know, we have a lot of calls in tow. 440 area code.
Pastors, how are you tonight?
Bless you. How are you, brother? What's going on in the churches?
Well, recently I was introduced to my father's pastor, you know, invited to a church that I do not attend. And I caught the last, about maybe 8 to 10 seconds, you know, of the service. I'll say about 8 to 10 minutes of service. And after I got introduced, I'm noticing different types of agendas going on. And I'm talking about everybody there is wearing Black Lives Matter t-shirts. You've got sodomized homosexual couples around there. I'm taking this whole thing and I'm like, I can't believe I'm looking at this. And my father's a band member there. So I talked to the pastor and he says, how's service? Did you like it? I honestly told him. I wasn't here long enough to check it out. Are you a member? Would you like to join? No, thank you. Then he asked me why. I can't come to a church under the laws of Christ. And he says, again, what you spoke of tonight. And he says, we're all under grace. You know, we're not here to be judging one another. I said, well, wait a minute. How can you say that we're under grace, but without the law, we have nothing to measure the sin up against? And he just looks at me and says, well, brother, I'm sorry you feel that way. And I said, well, I'm sorry that you feel that way too, but I can't become a member of this church. Churches are not so tough. Very, very, very touching, very deep. What I can say is what I witnessed is another part of, you know, the 501c3 agenda that these pastors are getting a pass for. They get the law up under that, the way that they're doing things and how they stretch it. That's just another downfall for our Black community.
Okay, brother, you broke up a little bit. I didn't hear the last piece. And like, it went out, but I wanted to hear that. What's that last piece you just said, if you don't mind stating it over?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that with them being up under this 501c3, a lot of these pastors are getting a pass as long as they're staying on the agenda of, you know, that structure.
Okay. Now, brother, stay on real quick, because you just said real quick something that really, and I don't mind keeping it on if it's something that really drills something home concerning the topic and keeping it, you know,
yeah,
adding to the dialogue. You stated something about in your church there was nothing but Black lives. You say your father's church?
Yes.
And you stated that there was nothing in the church but Black Lives Matter paraphernalia and all those things.
Oh, yes. And they were even having this is a service that, of course, due to social distancing, you have to be outside, of course. But they had little stands supporting this agenda, and they had T-shirts that people can buy and purchase for the sake of me being there to be introduced to my father's faith. I know
okay.
That was very
okay.
strange.
Okay, so did you ask him, like, why does he have, why are they affiliated with Black Lives Matter? Did you ask him about that?
Yes, his answer was, we're not here to judge. We're here to spread this love for our community. This is not the time for us to be paying judgment. I just shook my head, Pastor.
And this is your father?
I'm my father's pastor.
Brother, I'm going to place you on hold real quick because I have something I need to show real quick. See, the Bible says you cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That's number one. And then it says, what union does Christ have with the devil? And a matter of fact, those in Black Lives Matter are self-professed Marxists and Luciferians, Satanists. They're witches. They will tell you they talk to the dead. They conjure the dead. What does that have to do with Christ's church? What this brother's testimony was a perfect example of what I'm talking about, how churches have compromised themselves to the degree of hell. I want to show y'all something real quick. One moment here. I need to show y'all this. One moment. Copy that. Y'all need to see this. It's that. Here it is. One moment. Oh, that's why. This is some weird stuff, brothers and sisters. I guess something don't want me to pull this crap up. It's not allowing me. See what I'll do, though. Look at your screen. Since it won't allow it this way. Check out y'all's screen. Right? Now, this performance, this was actually done in a church. Right? Let's see here. Let me see if I can find this. Window. Here it is. Yeah. Where is it? What are we looking at here, brothers and sisters? We're looking at someone in a church. Oh, the vice president hopeful in the church performing a marriage. Let's see this. Did y'all see this?
Let the rings exchanged and the vows declared symbolize your commitment, sincerity, and affection, and may your love never falter. By virtue of the power and authority vested in me by the state of California, I now declare you spouses for life.
Oh, let's go to church. Take me to church.
Let the rings exchanged and the vows declared symbolize your commitment, sincerity, and affection, and may your love never falter. By virtue of the power and authority vested in me, State of California, I now declare you spouses for life.
Oh, she's so happy. See, and it's all about love. That's all it's about. See? In the church. I'm going to show you how brazen they are. They'll have this same person represent what they claim the black constituency, and I'm going to leave it at that. Let me tell you, I'm going to leave it there. In the church, y'all. Now, this is where politics and the church marry. See? Let's go. That's all I have to say. I'm going to say nothing else. I don't have a dog in the race, so. Who's next? 973 area code. I'm
showing
you what's going on in the church.
Shalom, Elder Ricard, Elder Lawyer. This is Brother Arak Napash. This is going to take all but about 45 seconds. It's funny how in a definition that you brought up in G4742, it tells you that through this particular incision, it's for recognition of ownership. And we know that the owner is Lucifer, right, through the vaccine. So I got a quick scripture here, 1 Corinthians 3:16. It says, "Know ye not that you are the temple of the Most High, that the Spirit of the Most High dwelleth in you?" Verse 17, "If any man defile the temple of the Most High, him shall the Most High destroy." So Satan knows this. And also in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Ruach Kodesh, which is in you, which ye have heard of the Most High, and ye are not your own?" So I believe Satan, he knows this. So I think through this particular incision, it's a way to get back that ownership. Verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify the Most High in your body and in your spirit, which are the Most High." So basically my point is, Satan knows that Christ, you know, he bought us with a price through his blood, right, through the sacrifice that he made. So I believe that this is just a way for, you know, for Satan to take back ownership. So that's just my point, Ed. I'm going to yield there.
And that's a great point. Bless you, brother. Bless you. Great point that the brother just made. Because, see, Satan can't get that power to become a part of us naturally, like Christ can through the Holy Spirit. So he must use artificial intelligence. That he can influence us to do wrong, but he cannot become a part of us like Christ and God could naturally. Now, through what they are administering, Satan is looking to execute what he can't do through the Spirit artificially, fusing himself with our temple. See? Because without him infusing himself, we'll always have the power to Christ, of Christ and God from the heavens to stave him off and to defeat him and his ministers. See, Christ has the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can come down and become a part of us and become a part of our conscience and direct us and stave us and warn us from the evil. See? Satan don't have that power. The only power he has through his agents is what? Influence. Suggestion. But we have to make the choice. That's not good enough for Lucifer. He wants to be a part of us in our decisions as one of us, like the Holy Spirit acts. And this is the technology that they have perfected. Now, great point, brother. But if you take these things, if you take this technology, you will be destroyed. You are defiling your temple. You said you had something you wanted to say real quick, Yurok?
Yeah, just the point is that whatever form it takes on, because just like you have cell phones that sync to computers, I think that all this stuff was to bring us...
Get closer so they can hear you. I'm using the restroom. Yeah. Go ahead. Elder Yurok, he has something to say real quick.
Okay, well, the point I was making is that whether it's in the forehead or whatever the case may be, we just have to realize that they've been preparing us for this kind of technology for a long time. You know, you sync your phone to your TV and all these little things. This is to get you comfortable with being able to take certain signals, the control of the things. And really, that's what this thing is. It's going to be basically putting the person in the beast mode, if you will, if they just want to press a button. So you'll have no more rights to what you do whenever they choose to do whatever they want to do with you. So the point is, the Most High has always given us a system of how we can allow him to work with us. And now Satan will have a real-time way of doing it in which there's no leaving. Before, let's say a person got cast or had demons jump in them or something. The person could go and get prayed on, anointed, and get the demons cast out. Now, those demons will be there 24/7.
Exactly.
So that's what we have to realize.
The water. Exactly. So, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because they're going to have other forms of this particular technology that takes over your spirit. So we're not saying this absolute, this is just one of many systems they'll have in place. The RFID chip is one of them. Okay. But either way, if you yield your soul to this beast through merging with this technology, according to the Bible, your soul is lost forever. Your soul is lost forever. Now, getting back to the church real quick, too many of our people get caught up in love, in that word love. Let me make it clear. According to God, love isn't an emotion. This is how Satan was able to infiltrate you, pander to your emotions with this love thing. Well, we want to be a part of what you're teaching. It's the truth, but I don't feel love. That's because you haven't been taught what love is. Okay? The Most High isn't pandering to your idea of him and how it should be delivered. 9 times out of 10, in a wicked world, when it is delivered right, you wouldn't accept it. You've been programmed not to accept it. But they can get you with, you know what I mean? I don't feel no love. When you're taken through that love deception, you begin to accept things that are against God because what? Because love is present. Well, who's to say what two people can do in their own bedroom? As long as they love each other, hell to the no. That ain't love. Let me read what love is according to God. Y'all got this whole thing confused. And these deceiving Christians, these pastors and these usurpers have deceived you with what? Pandering to your emotions. No one cares how you feel if it don't line up with the Most High. You've been deceived with this. Well, I feel. That's what's wrong. You're not thinking, you're only feeling. 1 John 5:1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus, the Christ, whom we know his name is Yeshua, is born of God, and everyone that liveth, loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this is, now listen to this, highlighting what love is so you're not getting, we won't get deceived by these sorcerers who come in the guise of caring for you. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Love isn't an emotion, folks. It's an action. You want to show you love the Most High? Follow his rules. How many times us being in a relationship, and we're just people, someone claims they love us, but are doing all types of evil things against us. But because of how we feel when we're with them in certain moments, we ignore the fact that their actions outside of that moment is hatred. Then you come to a degree, you come to a point where you say, listen, I'm not hearing your words no more. You say you love me, but you don't treat me with love. You hate me. So we have to get out of this emotion thing and claiming that love, or thinking that love is an emotion. This is how the Satan was able to deceive us. I hear these Christians also, I come to them with knowledge, and they'd be like, well, you're speaking truth, but I don't feel love. Truth is love. Truth is love. They, oh man, all this knowledge, all this understanding, hell, it's blowing me away, but I don't feel salvation. You know why? Because your mind is broke. That's why you don't feel salvation. You're looking for a pacifist. Looking someone to pander to you. Christ spoke with what? He spoke with the voice of many waters. He was an austere man. He spoke with authority. If Christ were to speak in some of these churches we call a Christian church today, with the force and highlighting the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the evil of the people, guess what? Every church in our communities would get up and walk out if Christ was at the pulpit. Let's go down the line. We only got a few more calls. Let's see. I think I did 979 already. 340 area code. I'm going to come at you in one moment. Come on in.
Hello? Elvis?
Sunshine. Sunshine. The emoji.
Hi, Elvis.
Come on, woo, let me move the speaker back. Come on.
Hi. Hi, Elvis. Elvis, I was just... Hi, how are you?
I'm blessed by the best, and his name is Ahaya. Talk to me.
Okay, elders, for looking at the questions you asked, it seems to me that some Christian churches are willfully just ignorant to the truth or just willfully wicked. Some prefer living a lie, and some enjoy teaching, you know, the weaker, the innocent, like myself, how I was until I found this truth by the grace of the Most High to accept the status quo, and rather than sound doctrine, really. And the dangerous thing about it is that I know that all the churches, it seems like they have the same doctrine of it doesn't matter. And what doesn't matter to them is loving and knowing Christ as the scripture has said. That's one. And saying that Israel in the flesh is done away with and replaced by what they call spiritual Israel. And this is a bold-faced lie. And after this, everything is a trickle-down effect. That there's no preparation needed to do anything because nobody's chasing a specific people in their mind. So we're all in the same boat. And to them, we no longer need to be a light onto the world because it's like we're all the heathens of the world. So why bother? And even the mark of the beast is now just the so-called, some churches say, Sunday law or even a fairy tale. So they can accept it. Anybody can readily accept this. And even the COVID test or the killer vaccine, right along with it, whatever the heads of Bozrah prescribes, they will accept. And so that's what seems to be the main issue. And I'm seeing also the key thing is pride. That Proverbs 6 comes to mind where we're too proud. We don't want to hear anything. We're offended, and none of us feels like we need a physician. And I'm seeing even... one elder in a family's church said that he said that the 144,000 in Revelation is just character traits of Israelites just to try to promote this lie of spiritual Israel instead of accepting the truth. So I just continue to praise the Most High, and I'm grateful with every breath that I have. I know that this is the truth. This church is the truth, everything in it. And who has, well, at least for who has ears to hear, elder, and the academy is me, and for me, it's worth more than gold. So I'll see you in the next academy by grace, because I'm thirsting for righteousness. All praise be to
Thank
the
you.
Most High.
There she goes.
Bless you, elder. Bless
caller.
You.
Bless you. The only caller with an emoji. All right, let's go to the next 406 area code. Now, she highlighted something that was deep. I mean, an elder lawyer, check this out. I know this devil keep popping up. Lord. She highlighted something. It seems, elder lawyer, that some of our pastors and others out there, they celebrate in their sheer ignorance. I mean, who can be satisfied with claiming that they are a Gentile? I don't even hear Gentiles out there saying, well, I'm a Gentile. But our people, black people, you notice, they'll come and say, don't give me this Israelite stuff, I'm a Gentile. I don't even hear white people, Chinese people, even Gentiles in the church just highlighting, I'm talking about regularly that's in Christian churches, say, yeah, by the way, I'm a Gentile. So what's going on with our people where they highlight they're Gentile and then you ask them, well, okay. That's good. Well, Gentile means you are a nation outside of Israel. Which nation are you again? So they can't even identify the Gentile nation they're claiming. I mean, how dark is your understanding? If you're claiming that, okay, I'm not an Israelite, I'm a Gentile, but not even curious to what family you fall under of the Gentiles. I mean, you're talking about some double darkness. How can you celebrate? Brother Lawyer, can you explain how they can highlight and celebrate them being a Gentile as a good thing?
Well, I can't. And I think that's the reason why we have trouble trying to break through in many aspects of teaching what we teach concerning who we are according to the Bible. As you've mentioned, as we've mentioned in the past, anytime we bring this understanding of who we are according to the Bible, they automatically go into a defense as if they're defending a position that was given to them. And that position being that we are the Gentiles, and because we're the Gentiles, we're not bound by certain aspects of the Bible or certain teachings of the Bible. And I think to some degree, it's ignorance, but I think also to some degree, if you use the cover of being a Gentile, then you're not responsible in your mind. You validate in your mind that you are not responsible for keeping certain aspects of the Bible that God commands us to keep.
Oh, that's deep. Hold up, lawyer. That's deep. Because that means if they did acknowledge that they were the people of the book, that they would have to actually be accountable to the book?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So they have a book that they don't want to be accountable to.
Absolutely.
Follow the Bible. The Bible is got the Word of God. I'm reading out of the Word of God, right? And then when it comes to say, well, okay, why aren't you following the laws in the book? Oh, no, I'm a Gentile. So it absolves them of the responsibility of the book that they're using to convert people.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds crazy. Does that sound crazy to you? Does that sound insane? Here's a book you don't want to be accountable to. So you can absolve yourself by saying, well, I'm a Gentile. That's for those Jews.
Mm-hmm.
Let me eat what I want. Let me do what I want. Let me sin. Because guess what? Only those who follow the law are accountable to the book. You won't burn in hell. Anything else, Elder Lawyer? That was spot on, Elder Lawyer. That was spot on. That was spot on. They just don't want to be accountable. So they think they can conceal or hide themselves through ignorance. If I don't say I'm an Israelite, I'm not accountable to the book. So you want to be wicked. Dang. Excuse me. Excuse my Hebrew. 406 area code.
How you doing, Elder? Come on.
Shalom.
Shalom. Hey, this is my thing. This is the reason why they don't want to teach us that we Israel. Is because we're supposed to be striving for perfection, and we're supposed to be a light unto everybody else. But as long as we are considered like Gentiles, we had a gray area to where we could always fall back and just holler, Lord, Lord, you know, and get forgiveness.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Anything else before we get to the next call? Because you hit it on the nail. No,
sir. Pretty much, like Elder Lawyer, I hit it all right before I came on.
Well, thank you, brother. And you know what? I guess the Bible gets in the way of life. You know, it gets in the way of the life we have in the world. Like, there's some people who are good people. Their get-togethers, you know, their family retreats and all that embodies having to participate in some form of sin. Like, I think one brother was telling me how it's a family get-together. Sometimes they go out, the men, it's a paternal time when men can come together and hunt, and brothers come together who from the church, they come together and they hunt hog. They hunt hog, you know, they kill it and let the blood out, and then they roast the hog as part of this get-together they do once a year. Right? Now, on the surface, it sounds like a get-together that's good because we get together, we're out in the wild, we're hunting, we're doing men things, but then you have an abomination at the center of it. So how many people in the church are going to look at that and be like, well, you know what? you mean to tell me I'm not going to be able to go on my hog hunt? I mean, that's a family tradition for 3-4 generations. And now all of a sudden, I'm going to be the one to break this tradition that brought all the men of the family together? Yes, I'm going to break it. I'm not hunting no hog. Get out of here. I'm done with it. Someone have to break the curse. But because of this, and I'm just using that hog as an example, you can replace that with anything. Sunday worship, Easter, Christmas. So that's what they're looking at, how this is going to get in the way how we bond in a satanic society. This is why they are against Israelites, and this is why they're against this Bible. Because the Bible and us becoming Israelites leads us to a point of what? A place of accountability. When we begin to become accountable as a people, the curse ends. See? Yeah, I know brother told me, listen, my family came down on me because, you know, he says, and I used to have a good time. That early morning air, that dew that you can't see before you get up, before the sun coming down, and it's like a mist, and you hear the hogs and all that, and you shoot one in the air, and they start running, and you're chasing the hog. I mean, it sounds like fun. Up until the time you're hanging it, and now you're eating hog maws and chitlins. See, that's what's going on there. And Satan is, you know what? He's taking in your satanic sacrifice. All right, let's go down the line. Let's go down. We have a few more calls. 917 area code. We only got about 10 more minutes, and then we conclude this broadcast. So we probably have to make a part two, but let's go down the line. Let's get them all here. Let's see. Did I do 406? 406. I think I did 406. Did I bring you in earlier? 406?
Yes, sir. I've already been on.
All right. 917. Then. 917, then 401. Please go into another room outside those kids now. 917 area code. Let's go.
Shalom, Aldous. How you doing?
Shalawan, what's going on up in those churches?
Well, what I can say is that it's a lot going on in the churches, but shall we say what's not going on? Clearly, the word of God isn't being taught, because you'll have pastors that will teach the members or their congregants that, you know, you have to obey the pastor, you have to listen to the pastor, you have to honor the pastor, but those same pastors, they don't give the scriptures on the pastors being held accountable. So that's one. And then, like, when I think about what's going on in the churches, you know, you can't tell me now, especially given the fact that we have been taught, or what we have been taught through being in the truth through GOCC, that we are living the curse that Deuteronomy chapter 28, that whole chapter speaks of. Just the first chapter, the first part of the chapter speaks of what will happen if our ancestors followed the law, and the second half of the chapter speaks of what will happen if we didn't follow the law. So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 64, it says that, and you know, we'll serve other gods, wood and stone. So when we look at the wood, you know, that's the Christianity part, and the stone, of course, is Islam. But because today's topic is Christianity, you know, we're literally living that curse, and unfortunately, we're soaked into it, and we can't really fall free from it. But the Most High is awakening His people and the elect of the chosen, so that we can break from that curse. And I know it's hard, because, you know, I have family still in the Christian church, and, you know, sometimes my soul gets tired, you know, I feel like crying, but, you know, they don't want to listen. But you just have to keep praying, and that eventually that the word of God will get to them.
Well, thank you, sister. Great points. All right, I want to go to this thing of maybe we accepted dysfunction because, as a people, that's all we're used to. So what's happening in the churches is to be expected. Could that be? What's in the churches is to be expected to some degree. Who knows? Maybe because these are some of the things we are excusing and all that. You understand? What are people going to the church for? I'm seeing all this crazy stuff, and you're not going to the church to be saved. Witnessing people molesting children, and children are coming forth, young boys being molested by high known renowned pastors and all that. You're not going to the church to be saved. What are you there for? And do me a favor, because we only have a few more calls. I want a Christian to come in who's witnessing this right now, who have not, even if you've followed the church, but you're still on the fence or whatever the case is, and you're still a part of a Christian church, I promise you, you will not be ridiculed here. There will not be no coming down on you. If you are a Christian, and in our audience, we have what? How many? Almost 3,000 people in here. We have almost 3,000 people in here. If you are a Christian, I need you to call in. 515-605-9327. Call in and answer this question for me. Because maybe we're missing something. I came out of the Christian church, and I'm only giving you my experiences and some of the things I'm showing you through mainstream media, which means there's no accountability in the churches at all. But anything wicked, for anything they're doing against the Bible, they're not accountable for. Why? What is the true objective of these churches? Is it a place where, out of all the people in your neighborhood, at least you can go into a building and find men that you know have some fear of God? Maybe that's what it is to some degree on a community level. At least, because all these crazy men out here, at least I can run into a man that I know loves God. And if he loved God, he'll treat me halfway decent. Is that, that could be a reason. Maybe a brother's going to a church because out of all the people around in the church, they go to a church and you got a woman, a God-fearing woman who probably came from a good family, who'll be a good mother for your children. Those are all good reasons. But don't say it's because of the truth or the Bible. Maybe it's for personal reasons you're up in there. So I need a Christian to call in. And if you're on the line already, just type in your area code and I'll come directly to you. If you're a Christian already, you're not a part of the Gathering of Christ Church, I want you to come in. I'm going to put you at the head of the line and you tell us or tell me what is the true objective of your church you're a part of. You don't even have to mention the church you are a part of. You don't have to. Also, do your church teach sound doctrine? And if so, what is that? Those two questions. 864. Okay. 864, I'm going to find you. 864, let me find you. Let's see. I'll find you if you're up in here. 864, where are you? Let me see, 864. 864, I don't see you in there. So do me, okay, 410. Let's see. Let me bring a Christian in here and maybe, you know, a 410? Oh, 410, a woman pastor? Okay, praise God. Bring her in here. Shalom, bless you. How are you?
Bless y'all, man. I love y'all to pieces, man. I love y'all to pieces. How y'all doing?
I'm doing well. Are you a Christian?
No, but I had a woman pastor. I was going to my church.
Okay, I need you to. I'm gonna bring you back in. I'm gonna bring you back in with the woman pastor. Let me tell you, folks, we really gonna need brothers and sisters to really hone in. When we have a broadcast, when it comes to edifying, we need to stay on the program. If I ask specifically, and no disrespect to you, brother, because I'm gonna come back to you. And I love you too. It's all good. But I need y'all to listen. If I'm asking for a Christian's perspective. Please don't try to get in the front of the line by putting your number in knowing that you don't fit what we're asking. Please. I mean, boy, you're trying to jump the line. 214, I'm going to come back to you, brother. I love you too, but please, you trying to be slick. 214 area code, let's get it. Let's see. And please, be forthright here, okay? We're going to treat you with total respect. When you come into our calls, when you come into, yes, and you are a guest, you'll be treated with the utmost respect. So don't feel intimidated or nervous. Maybe you have a perspective that's needed. Maybe, you know, to some degree, I'm biased in every degree because I understand the level of ignorance that is being taught in Christian church. Even though there's good things there, they're lacking big time concerning Christ's doctrine. Let's see, 214 area code. Let me try 214. Christians only now. Christians only. Hold on. What you see there, Yara? I don't see no 214. All right. Oh, so I guess 515-605-9327. It's working. 515-605-9327. It's definitely working. All right. So I guess we don't have, there isn't a Christian that's listening right now. We're only asking for the area code of someone who's a Christian who can answer these questions. Someone says, I'm leaving the Christian church. Okay, let me get that 531 area code. 531, where are you? I don't see 531. Oh, there you go. Shalom, you're live.
Good evening, Elvis. Good evening,
okay,
Elvis.
You stated that you're leaving the Christian church.
I'm in Nebraska. I grew up in the Christian church here. Church. I had a Cuban pastor. I had a Native American pastor. I then went to a Black Christian church. And then the church I'm leaving now is also has a Native American pastor. His wife's an Edomite. However, they still, I've noticed that they, I believe the church right now is being kind of used as a tool to spread misinformation. And I see a lot of confusion in the church right now.
Okay, well,
let me ask,
based on, because there was a specific reason why I wanted to bring in someone with a Christian perspective, all right? How old are you?
I'm 34.
Okay, let me guide it so that I can get what I want out of the call based on I'm asking about Christians to get a Christian perspective. So let's not deal with it from the point of view understanding that it's false, right? Before you ran into us, what were you going there for in particular?
I'm going for community and fellowship. I have a daughter.
Sister,
she's seven, and so we were.
Sister, your phone is breaking up every other word. Every other word is breaking up. I don't know if I'm on a speakerphone, but
yes,
everything's good there.
Phone.
Okay.
I was just saying that I was looking for community and fellowship and, like, positive relationships. I'm raising my seven-year-old daughter alone, and so that's really what I was looking for. I was also looking for the truth of why, who I was and why I'm here.
Okay, so initially you went there to church, and there's nothing wrong with it, to be honest. You went there looking for a good man.
Yes, but I returned to the church before I became a mother.
Listen, don't go to the butt. That's still stick with what you went there for. You went to church looking for a good man. Yes, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes, but I wouldn't say that that was my initial reasoning. I was trying to find the truth about God and who he was.
You was trying to find, you was trying to get closer to God.
Correct. I returned to the church 10 years ago. So after I went out, after high school, turning from God and living in sin and going to the university system, you know, I was looking for purpose.
Okay. Well, thank you, sister. Unfortunately, your phone is bad. I'm sorry. I'm hearing you, but you're muzzled.
I'm sorry.
It's not, sister, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. All right. I'm going to place you on hold, but I did get the gist of what you were saying there. The sister went to church, and there's nothing wrong with that. She wanted a good man. And, you know, she went to church to find a good man who feared God. And also the caveat on top of that is she could actually learn more about God than she knew. Okay? And I think that's what the church has. Okay? They have a way in which there is an entry. There's an entry level into understanding the Bible. And she wanted that. So there's nothing wrong with that. All right, I'm going to take one more call, and then we're going to wish you all Godspeed. What's going on in the church? I wanted a Christian perspective, but obviously, oh, 336 is a pastor's daughter. Now we're talking. Lord have mercy. You probably have to run your voice to some type of machine, because your daddy going to be mad when he hear this. 336 area code.
I mean, boy, you're trying to jump the line. 214, I'll come back to you.
Hello?
Okay, I'm playing in the background.
Okay.
I'm playing in the background. We can't have that. Not a good show.
Shalom, elders. Is this better?
Okay, you're the daughter of a... Yes, you're the daughter of a pastor, correct?
I am.
Okay, how old are you?
I am 39 years old. After following you guys for, I would say about 4.5, 5 years now.
Hold up now. Lord, you know what? We're going to do part two. Part two next Wednesday. Christians are calling in and telling the truth. Will be our broadcast next Wednesday. Christians are calling in and telling the truth, and we're going to start off, oh my goodness, we have 979, the pastor's wife is up in here. So we got to take one more call. We got, this is the daughter of a pastor here, and the next call we take, Lord have mercy, we got the pastor of a wife calling in to the Gathering of Christ Church, who's going to give us an understanding of what is the true objective of churches. Man, I don't know if I can take this call. Pastor's wife. But go ahead, sister.
Well, as I said before. Yes, sir.
Okay, the daughter of a pastor, you're 36. Hold up, sister. You're 36 years of age. And
no, sir, 39.
You're 39 years of age. How long have you been listening to the Gathering of Christ Church?
Almost 5 years.
Okay, so what do your father think?
Well, he is old school, and one thing I can say is he does preach what he lives and what he believes. But I have been able, with the lessons that I have learned with you all, I have been able to share my findings with studying with you guys. I did get him an Apocrypha when I first started learning the truth. I got him that book that you had up with the original King James. And my mom, she's been in the church all her life as well. I've been called, you know, I'm in a cult. You know, I've been called all of these things, but I bring the word. I study, I write down notes. And I take this back now. He's getting ready to retire, God willing, and I'm praying, within the next few years. And because my dad came from
South Carolina. My grandparents worked on the cotton field, and they were really that religious, strong, God-abiding family. He wasn't subjected to a lot. And so he really preaches what he believes. He is a preacher that preaches on revelation. However, he does preach on things that I do not agree with, and I back away from those things. I do not celebrate Christmas. I don't celebrate any of the pagan holidays, and they have had to learn to respect that for me and my daughter. My daughter she just turned 12 last week, and he has had to respect that. People at my church know not to come at me with no pagan holiday because I showed them Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. I also have been able to influence some of my family members who were religious, and I was able to influence them to now where they're subscribed to GOCC. Other family members who are also, you know, in other groups, but I love this ministry. I support this ministry both financially. I've been making excuses on why I wasn't attending the academy. I will be, if the Lord is willing, I will be in the academy this Sunday, but I am getting prepared spiritually. I walk different, and I owe a lot to this ministry. I know this is the truth, and the only thing I could do is lead by example, by showing them the change in my life and how God is making a way in my life. And so my father, he even showed me Revelation where it talks about the fake Jews. I told them, I said, well, if y'all giving money to Israel, which that's what the Christian churches do, they send money over there. I said, well, give me the check. Just give me the money. I'm an Israelite. Just give me the money, and you don't have to send. You don't have to pay for a stamp. You can just support me because that's who I am,
Thank you, sister. I have to get to the next call, but you brought some good points. All right. You can
thank
hang
you
up
so
because
much,
I got one of the calls. You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, God. Okay, thank
bless
you so much for your ministry.
Thank you. And I'm going to tell you, folks, this Zionism is deep because they have infiltrated the Christian church. I'm going to show you the con game that goes on with Zionism and Jesuits over the church. They have convinced black churches that are suffering in the ghetto to siphon their money outside of their community and send it to Israel. You talk about a con game. The children of Israel are suffering in your neighborhoods. I mean, they're looking at our pastors like, you fool. How can you send money over there when it tells you the children of Israel will be suffering under the hands of our oppressors? The fact that they're in the land proves they're not the people. They already have support. The world government supports have placed them there. But you're going to send your little nickels and dimes out of the community to support them thinking you're doing God a favor? They're looking at you like fools. 919, the pastor's wife. I'm going to be guarded in this conversation.
I want to ask you.
Shalom.
Shalom, Elder.
Pastor's
Shalom.
Wife.
Shalom.
Pastor's wife?
Yes. Elder, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. Please don't have nothing playing in the background. Everything. Make sure I'm not playing in the background. Let's talk.
I have you on pause.
Thank you. You are a pastor's wife.
Right. My husband was a pastor. He passed away last August, and I was in the Christian church until I finally came across Gather of Crisis Church, and I merged with you all last May of 2018. So I've been with the Gathering of Christ Church for 2 years.
Sister, what a relief, because, man, I mean, not a relief. I'm sorry that you lost your husband, first and foremost. But it's a relief on me that, you know, I don't want to be the part of it. I didn't want – that's why I want to hear where this was going. because I don't want to be a part of no domestic abuse, someone throwing crosses down the steps of people, right?
You don't have anything to do with it. I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. You ready?
All right, good. Okay, come on, I'm ready. Come on.
What's going on in the Christian church is disbelief, distrust, and deceit. There is disbelief in the Most High or His Word. There is distrust in someone they can't see. And there is deceit. They have been deceived by Satan, and they are deceiving the people. The main focus is money, sex, and power. And I'm telling you this from personal experience, not only as a member, but as a pastor's wife, an ex-pastor's wife. And salvation and fear of damnation, fear of the Most High and damnation is never mentioned. My husband was 82 years old when he passed, and he had been in the ministry 64 years. And we were married 27 years. We were married 27 years, and I tell you...
Y'all done forced me to bring God up in here. Sister, last but not least, how old are you?
I'll be 69 in December.
Look at this.
And I've been reading the Word over 40 years, and I have never seen the truth until I got with Gavner's Crisis Church.
Lord have mercy. You know, we have to have a full show with Christians bringing the truth. Y'all can't claim no cult, no this, no that. This sister was the mother of a church. All the examples of what it says about a wife being a husband, an aged elder woman, taken into the ministry of 60 years, able to guide the young ladies. Was over at church.
Right.
She's telling you it's nothing but a bunch of a den of thieves, robbers, evildoers, sinners.
Right, right. Bless you. Most Christian pastors are like this. One thing at home and a raging bull in a china shop. Well, let me back it up. One thing before the people and a raging bull in a china shop at home. And may God rest his soul, but I found it hard to believe being in a house with a preacher was what I experienced. But I had to deal with it.
Lord, sister, you know what? We got this show coming next week. AC, you put it up there tonight. Christians telling the truth. Our next broadcast next Wednesday. And folks, I'm going to tell you right now, folks. Hey, you know why there's so much evil going on in churches? Black people, we learned it from our red, scarlet, harlot mother, the Roman Catholic Church. A lot of this evil, guess what? We weren't a part of nothing. The stories we're hearing of black people molesting people and being over the churches dealing with boys, it started with the Edomites in Rome. But as we took on their doctrine and continued in their traditions, we began operating in their perversions. The one thing about it is, the difference is, when a black person does it, they're actually raped through the coals and shown on the news and all that as the example of what's all wrong with those who believe in God. Then between us and them is, they're Vatican priests. They can rape little boys and just be moving to a different country or a different county or a different state to continue raping. That's the only difference. Boy, our show next week is going. Lawyer's going to be fire. Let me put it on hold. Lord, have mercy. Make sure y'all stay tuned for next Wednesday, folks. Next Wednesday, Christians telling the truth. That's an anomaly. Elder Geiger, we're going to end it with you and have that elder say a word, and then we'll wish you all Godspeed.
Yeah, my elder, man. Big show. I'm looking forward for next week, man. You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm going to try and find a pastor to come on the show. Like a week.